Now, I bet you didn't even think that your opinion of Meghan Markle can actually hurt your business relationships. In this podcast, we cover why it's important not to share overt opinions about Meghan Markle and how they can affect any women of color that you are doing business in. In this episode, we're going to explore all of those comments and break them down for you on Hustle and Glow. I'm Francesca Alexander, ex-Los Angeles makeup artist turned online marketer who now lives in Auckland, New Zealand. I teach small business owners profitable, actionable steps to build highly engaged social media results. We build SEO and social media systems with ease. It's truly a collaboration. Welcome to the Hustle and Glow podcast. Hey everyone, what gave me inspiration to write this article and then also to make a podcast of it was a podcast by Bethany Frankel, my favorite. And she had this episode that was talks about Meghan Markle. And I was like, oh my God, enough already. And what I didn't understand why it was so important and why it hit so wrong every time I hear somebody talk about Meghan Markle. And it's not that I'm not necessarily a fan of hers or have, you know, my own personal opinions, but there is an underlying thing here that I think that it's really important for us to discuss because it comes up in business often. I can't tell you here, even here when I'm in like a business environment and something's broke out in terms of a news item on Meghan Markle or Harry, we get to hear those opinions. And as a woman of color, I thought, you know, but this is a really good topic to actually circle back on and really break it down on why it's important for us not to always share our opinions on Meghan Markle. And so now we're just going to get into it and we're going to go into why we need to reframe a couple of things while we're talking about Meghan Markle. It's really important. I didn't even understand it until I really start to write about it.
I didn't completely get canceled last time I spoke about Meghan Markle, but the thing is, I don't want to not speak on something if it is occurring to me, if my girlfriends are talking about it, if people are secretly talking about it. And then, like when I talked about Kim Kardashian, I don't want to shy away from something that I have an opinion on if I'm hearing moms talk about it, if, like I said, my girlfriends and my staff have an opinion on it. So let's get into Meghan Markle. I want you to know that I don't know that much about her. I mean, I know what I read in the headlines, and I know that, you know, the Daily Mail and the Post is always writing negative things, that the Piers Morgans and the Meghan Kelly are always sort of on one side of it. It's become oddly like a political thing. They're on one side of it. And then the liberal media, you know, everything Meghan does is you know, the People magazine, amazing.
So one quick note, the self-awareness here is a little lacking. Now, so when we talk about conservative conversations around Meghan Markle, yes, absolutely it's political because racism is political. What side is a liberal side versus a Republican side going to have and with that explorative racial tonality? We've seen it. We know it. I don't understand why if she's not afraid to talk about it, then don't be afraid to talk about it.
So it's very divided, and it's interesting that certain things like wearing masks and getting vaccinated became completely political when you could be a Democrat that wants to not get vaccinated and a Republican that wants to get vaccinated. And you could be a person that likes Meghan Markle that's a Republican or a Democrat that doesn't. So it's just funny how these other things become political. Like
It's not funny, it's strategic, and I've never met a Republican that liked Meghan Markle, honestly.
Just the way it goes, like liberal media, some, I guess, like Meghan Markle, and conservative media doesn't, and it makes, you know, no, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, like, that there are party lines on an individual, especially someone who's not a politician. But Meghan Markle is certainly polarizing.
Okay, so certainly polarizing for me means the focus on a woman of color and listening too much about her shared experience. It's just not worth my time. But I'm going to share my opinion anyway. That's what it translates for me.
And we're in a different era now than Wallace Simpson, you know, who her husband gave up the throne for her, where there wasn't all this different media and a way to kind of get your voice out there and market yourself and things like that. So back then they were pariahs. They left the royal family, and Meghan and Harry get to do Oprah and have a voice and have podcasts. And so it's just a different time. I wonder if this was back then, what it would be. So racism is real in this country and all over the world, undeniable. Depression, mental illness, homophobia is real. Like, there are issues that are real that you can have an opinion on a topic and not be ignoring those. So my opinion is that if there was rampant racism in...
Okay, just stop there. If there was racism that was running rampant, and we're going to talk about the royal family, right? There's an if. There absolutely is an if. There's no if. It happened. Part of my family, actually all of my family on both sides, they deal with racism daily because we're not rid of it in our bodies and what our daily conversation is. She is so unaware and so on the side of just that really blind, I guess her viewpoint is very much that white viewpoint where she wants to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. This is very white female for me. So she's not going to say fully that they have been dealt with. Obviously, the royal family has some issues with racism like most families do, or anything, not even calling it out. She's just throwing the word if.
Buckingham Palace in the royal family. I'm not saying that I would be so surprised. Isn't it the whitest, most aristocratic royal family? Like, I'm not so it was great when Meghan entered that family because it was modern and it was movement and it was change and people embraced it and loved it. Whatever, I wasn't there, so whatever she experienced, let's just say that was totally real. Now, across the board, press seems to feel that there was a lot embellished in other areas, whether it's events of a fire or never knowing who Harry was or having no knowledge of the royal family and then be photographed in front of the palace on a trip. And there are many discrepancies. You had a secret wedding, but then
Okay, so now she's discrediting Meghan Markle altogether, kind of doing that dehumanizing approach where she doesn't mean anything that's worth our time, but I'm going to give you my opinion anyway, kind of mentality. So this is something that I thought was really interesting, the way the system or the systematic piece in where she's actually starting to discredit Meghan Markle's honesty here was really interesting to me.
The priest or whoever, the clergyman, said that it wasn't a real wedding. Like, there are a million opinions back and forth about what's true, and there are 50 shades of truth in this royal exit. But some things do confuse me. So let's say now at every Thanksgiving table, there are political arguments. There are uncles that don't like Jews, don't like maybe uncles and aunts, don't like Jews, don't like gays, don't understand another bathroom in a school for a second grader, don't understand pronouns, don't understand a white man and a black woman being together. Like, there are members of families. And by the way, you know, we've all experienced that where you can't believe, you're embarrassed of a family member. Like, you can't believe that they have these ridiculous views, these crazy views, because they're old, set in their ways, not educated, ignorant, etc. So
here I felt like she's setting herself up to be one of the good guys. Listen, I get it. Racism is in every family, but she's not calling out exactly what is going on, but she's acknowledging it so that she can seem to be impartial.
Let's just say that's Meghan's experience. It is her husband, who she loves, family. And so some people, I asked my girlfriend today, I was walking on the beach, I said, what?
I asked my girlfriend so I don't have to actually be responsible for this next bit.
Is it that bothers you so much about Meghan? Like, why do you hate her? I said to my friend, she said, because I can't believe that she would go so hard for so long on this about her husband's family.
So what that means to me as a woman of color is that she's negating that there is a partnership here with her husband. She's controlling, she's masterminding, and who has, you know, and who has taken on her, I mean, Harry's taken on his family as an act of love and an act of activism that's really important. And this kind of mentality only sees the POC, the person of color in the room, as the problem.
I thought, oh, that's interesting. And she said she got what she wanted and it wasn't good enough. And I said, well, how would she know going into a royal family if there was going to be racism? I mean, how would she know that was going to happen? And she,
positioning herself to be the good guy. Great on, you know, good on you, Bethany. You want to clear up the room, make sure that you are actually the good person here.
She said, you're entering into the Queen of England's home. Like that, this is an aristocracy and it's the most archaic, antiquated system in the world. That doesn't mean you're not going to want to change it. That doesn't mean we're going to accept things in society and just say, oh, that's the way that is, and we're just going to go with that. Like in the NFL, you can't, you know, refuse to take a knee. Like, people have to take a stand. We get that. But she feels that Meghan wants an a la carte menu. That was what my friend said to me today, because I wanted to know what the problem is for her, because I said it. So she's a very polarizing person.
Oh, okay. So now we're going into, this is what my friend said, but really she's like a polarizing person. So that's her quote. So that means to me, when I listen to that, the focus of a woman of color and sharing her experience is way too much for me to handle. It's not worthy of my time, but I'm going to show you my opinion anyway.
For me, it's okay to have your own podcast and want to make money, want to be a capitalist. You and Harry against the world, making hundreds of millions of dollars on Spotify, on Netflix. You know, go for the American dream. Leave the Brits, go for the American.
So let's just recap what Bethany herself has done. She's gone on a reality TV show so that she can actually make it big in business. And she, it actually just in front of us actually unfolded what it was going to be. It was going to be the Skinny Girl Margarita, and that she sold it for, I don't know how many millions of dollars to, I think it's Jim Beam. She made the cover of Forbes for it. But she in herself has always been unapologetically ambitious and forward thinking about business. That is her, you know, lack of a better word, her whole narrative about what she does. So she's always unapologetic about making money and being good in business. However, she has a problem with Meghan doing the same thing.
Dream. You want to be friends with famous people. You weren't allowed to go out. You weren't allowed to take designer goods. Live your life. You were.
She has a lot of famous friends. Bethany has a lot of famous friends, goes to dinner with them, takes photos, tries to not, actually has even accidentally had a dinner with Sia and accidentally put her face on Insta stories. So yeah, not buying it.
On a game show holding a briefcase, and then you were on a show that wasn't widely known. I had never seen it or really heard of it. And it's also...
That was a killer for me. So now she's discrediting Meghan for just holding that briefcase and being on a show that wasn't wildly known. It was known. And also too, if I were to hear that in a boardroom or in the office, this is what it means to me. It means that she's not worthy to be royal or famous. Who does she think she is, sort of mentality, which, well, quite frankly, a lot of successful women of color always get. Who does she think she is?
Hey, to marry someone and become a duchess, like, good for you. Yay. You know, that's every little girl wants to be a princess, and you got to be a duchess. Wonderful. Demi Moore used to be on General Hospital. I was on the cover of Forbes magazine. I used to be on The Housewives making $7,000 a year and was at Saved by the Bell PA. We all have had a past. Kim Kardashian, you know, was in a sex tape. Like, we all have had a past. So I don't think the problem is that Meghan is now a duchess. And some people talk about that. Oh, well, she not so long ago, she was opening briefcases. Like, who cares? Like, great. Go for yours. Go all the way. What I do...
Backtracking just a little bit.
I think, though, the bottom line is, I think people don't like Meghan Markle because I think she talks down to other people. I think she's sanctimonious. And I think there's this subtext of elevation. She's up there, we're down here.
All right. This is what it means to me when she says that. Even though she is well-spoken and impeccably dressed, I feel inferior to her overall presentation, and it offends me. I will put her down so I can feel superior. She is not my idea of what royalty looks like.
She just has institutional knowledge on life and has experienced more than any of us. She's been compared to Nelson Mandela. She's very self-important. And she's
very self-important. So what, you know, it's that who does she think she is mentality again.
Very much like a housewife in that she can't stop talking about the very thing that she wants to be irrelevant. And
I believe it's her husband that actually published a book that was called Spare, and it wasn't Meghan Markle's book, but you go ahead.
If she were on the show, the producers would say, stop talking about security and the state of Frogmore Cottage. It's not relatable.
Okay, so that part was really inflammatory, I think, and it really pissed me off. Because no matter what you think about Meghan Markle, Harry has grown up with security, a government issue security, because if anything were to happen to him, you know, being the spare, they actually made sure that he had security. If you read his book, he has security with him since he was a kid. Now, it is not, absolutely not, out of the question to think, where is the security when my life is being threatened, when my firstborn child is being threatened because of our race? What is wrong with that? I need clarity from her from that, because that really got me.
People don't have a security detail. So while that may be a real concern for you, it's just not something that really is going to play to this audience.
What audience are you talking about, Bethany? What audience are you talking about? Are you talking, you know, quite frankly, just your type of audience? Or are you talking for all people in the United States? People of color are not included in your audience. Not really. Not when they really listen to what you have to say.
She wants to sort of like eradicate and erase the royal family and, you know, take them down and have a voice and talk about everything that happened, which is a cautionary tale. And it is good for people to know that racism exists everywhere. But that's not something we're surprised by. Like,
well, in the beginning, you said that you didn't really, you said if. So is it if or is it real?
If you tell me that racism exists in the royal family, I'm not like bowled over with shock. Okay, so you got out of there. Okay, you got out. But it is your husband's family, and you keep beating the same. You keep beating the same storyline.
So on Netflix, when they came out and they started talking about their story, it was a shared experience. Yet we're very easily and happy to position Meghan as the only person that's telling the story. What does that say to you about, you know, only seeing the person of color in the room as the one with the problem?
So you want to be a voice for change, a woman for female empowerment, to talk about racism and how unacceptable it is, what it's like to be a woman of color, okay? So do that. So do that in the future. Why do we...
She was doing that. Like, what is wrong with you?
Keep in these nuanced, subtle ways, keep referencing things that happened in the past with this one family that doesn't reflect most of the world. Like, it's not relatable.
Okay, every woman of color that has married into a white family knows this story. It's not unusual or different. We've all gone through that dining room table or that get together awkward moment with the other side of the family. It is part of that family dynamic. I don't understand what you're thinking.
I call you and I'm like, oh my God, you can't imagine what Madonna, Tom Cruise, Cher, and Cindy Crawford said to me in my experience recently. Like, how is that going to like help everybody?
Okay, that's just whitewashing. I have no words.
It's such a specific example. I was on a show where I held a briefcase, got myself to be an actress, married myself a prince, became a duchess, was treated with racism. Like, we're not that shocked.
That dehumanizing bit again goes right back to where she's carrying a briefcase, even though she said, oh, good for you. You know, it just, she keeps circling back. There is something that is fundamentally angering and upsetting Bethany, and I believe it's because Meghan Markle does not fit the criteria of what a princess should look like. In fact, she's purposely saying, oh, she's a duchess.
And to you know, and I think that there's, so I think that there's a non-relatable factor in the way that we're being spoken to, and in that like poised, orchestrated elegance, in that mimicking of Diana.
Which means to me, she doesn't fit my idea of being elegant, or and she doesn't fit my idea definition of a princess. Again, she uses duchess where she can. Yes, she's a duchess. However, she just can't say the word princess. She can't even wrap her head around that because she doesn't fit that dynamic in her head.
In that, you know, that Carolyn Bessette Kennedy intentional, very natural, very slow, intentional speech.
And there you go. Who is she comparing her to? To a, I guess the aristocracy sort of version of the American version of what royalty would be, and that is Caroline Bessette. So, you know, she's showing her card, she's showing her hand. And so when somebody has this sort of passion when they're talking about how upsetting that Meghan Markle is, for me, it's like, well, you have all of those ideas and beliefs of somebody that we shouldn't really even care about. You know what I mean? It's so polarizing because she's having an experience from the royal family, and she has carried on and brought in the sights, or in her sights, where it's like, okay, we got to be ambitious. We got to generate our own wealth for our family. And she has a problem with that. That is crazy. And for me, when I was writing this article, I had to just write this little bit, this little affirmation for women of color that were reading my article, that it's okay to be safe for women of color to be successful, ambitious, and wealthy. What does it say about you, Bethany, or other women that are going at it so hard on Meghan Markle that you think that that's going to be empowering? That you think that that's going to go ahead and make me safe, that I'm going to actually be in your environment, your work environment. I know from this conversation that it's you first. I know that when things get tough, whether it's politically or has to do with racism, you're going to say if and maybe if that was their experience, and you're not going to back it up. These are really red flags, red signs in doing business with anybody like this, because I don't trust you. I don't trust you because your perception is off and it's very singular, and you don't have the self-awareness to understand that what you're doing is a microaggression. It's an absolute microaggression when it comes to women of color and how you feel about successful women of color. So no, thank you. I don't want to work with anything with you or your products or anything like that, because I just don't trust you. And what the funny thing is about Bethany is that she's going hard on TikTok and all the rest of it, but it's because of who she is, she gets in her own way, and people are starting to feel the same way. So it's very interesting, but I wanted to show you the root cause of the article that I wrote and why it was important for us to actually look at it. There's so much there to unpack and to actually ignore it and put blinders on and say, oh, this is just my opinion. No, it's more than that. And this is a definition of what a microaggression is if this were to happen in a workplace. If this were to happen at a board meeting, if somebody went, oh my God, Meghan Markle on the news again. Oh my God, she can't get off the front page. And I say to you, why does it matter? Why do you feel so angry about it? Explore that. Explore that. And then we can have like a conversation. But I can't get past that anger part. Why are you so angry? I don't get it. If you're going to be angry at every single woman of color that is successful or that has done something or put herself in the spotlight, you need to self-reflect. You need to look in that, and you need to not involve me in that at all. Wow. Just wow. it always takes me to that place where I put my armor up. I just want to make sure that, you know, are we on the same plane here? Like, what is going on? And so I go really passionate and go hard because I can't deal with this anymore. I think it's harder as I get older to actually be passive. I can't be passive. And by the way, my generation, Gen X, is all about being quiet so we can be polite when things like this happen in any setting. So it's not even business. It's just like, you know, be polite, smile, and just nod and then carry on. And then also too, the other thing is that when you're back into your own circle, you would quietly talk about what you've experienced. And I'm not in for that anymore. I'm just like, let's talk about it now. You want to bring it up? Let's talk about it. Why? Why is it an issue? Or why do you feel like that should be something that you want to talk about now? It's something that we have to full on. You're going to bring it up. I think what's happening now and what's great about something like TikTok is that we are learning from the younger generation is that some things are just not tolerable and should be questioned immediately. And if we really want to just edge up a little bit more into amicable race relationships, we need to have these hard conversations, and you should not worry about other people in the room feeling uncomfortable. If the topic is out there and is brought up by somebody that is not a person of color, then it's on. And we should be able to actually talk about it openly, fluidly, and hopefully with respect on both sides. That's the hard bit, right? But we need to do it to get started. So that is my ending piece with you. Perception is so important. We all know that perception actually makes deals or breaks deals in business. This is a perception piece if you're talking to women of color in the room. We can't get fully involved or fully connected or even fully supportive if we're going to be met with this type of conversation in that work environment. So I'm going to leave that with you. It was a big topic for me, so I hope that you guys got out of it. If you want to talk more about it, please go into the links and reach out to me. I'm here for you. And I look forward to having the next conversation in the Hustle and Glow podcast.